What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. My name is Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. As always, I'm here with all the news, all the notes, all the hot topics, and the hot takes that you need to be the smartest fan in any room when you're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. And I'll tell you what, it was a busy weekend at the Apex for UFC Fight Night, Dern versus Hill. They did not disappoint. So much going on. It's Full Press MMA. It's Grease. It's Monday. Let's roll. And where else do we start but UFC Fight Night at the Apex in Vegas. Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill. Dern, 13-3, two-time Jiu-Jitsu World Champion. Four submission wins inside the octagon are the most in strawweight history. Man, oh man, did she dominate Angela Hill. But it was the way that she did it that should send shivers up and down the spines of everyone in the strawweight division. Angela Hill defended submission attempts throughout the fight like she's legitimately supposed to, right? So Mackenzie Dern attacking from the beginning, looking to set up the clinch and take it to the ground, fighting for submission attempts, armbar attempts throughout the fight. But really what did it for her was her striking. Along the way, Angela Hill absorbed a lot of punishment. It showed up on her swollen face, her nearly shut left eye, but she survived to the final horn of this lopsided fight. It was 49-44. By two judges, and the third one scored at 49-43. A very good night for Mackenzie Dern, viewed as a grappling specialist, but it was her stand-up game that put her in the position to succeed. Her early takedown attempts failed. She got the fight to the canvas in the first round with a right hand that floored Hill. In the third, she wobbled Angela with a knee to the chin, and this was big for Mackenzie Dern. She had lost two of her last three fights. She let her hands go. Jason Perillo's influence really helping her a lot. A career-high 126 significant strikes landed by Mackenzie Dern. 61 of them came while in control on the canvas, where she spent nearly half of the fight. It felt good, she said. I landed a lot of my striking, and that was what she wanted to do coming into the fight. I tried to get the submission. I'm trying to catch up to Charles Dubronx Oliveira with the most submissions, Dern said. That's the former lightweight champion. He's got 16. Jillian Robertson's got 7. She leads the way for women competing in flyweight and strawweight. Dern's really excited, though. 30 years of age, entering her prime. She is legitimately on her way to some big things coming up this year and in the future. Wants to fight Thug Rose next, the former champ. She called her out saying, quote, I've never fought an ex-champion. I feel like I could have that opportunity now. Elsewhere on this card, Edmund Shahbazyan, Anthony Hernandez. Anthony Hernandez by KO-TKO, round 3, 101. How about Emily Ducote and Lupita Garnez? Lupi goes to 10-3 with a decision win. Joaquin Buckley announces his presence with authority, or authority, as you might say, over Andre Fialho with a KO-TKO, 4:15 of round 2. And then Diego Fajera puts Michael Johnson to sleep with a knockout. Round 2, 1 minute 50 seconds. It was a good night of fights at UFC Fight Night in Vegas over the weekend. Really excited to see where it goes from here for Mackenzie Dern with what she was able to do in that fight against Angela Hill. And what a matchup that would be against Thug Rose. The striking of Mackenzie Dern has improved so much, it kind of makes you wonder how great that fight could be. And man, I'll tell you what, Mackenzie Dern really looked good. If you didn't see that fight, you should go and watch it again. And that's something that I love doing. Go back and rewatch the fights when they're not on live. And you know what I'm saying? You just go and you do that and you make it happen. That way you can really watch them. You can really go through them and see what you wanted to look for to begin with. And if that's something that you love to do, man, go back and rewatch that fight, because Mackenzie Dern is a problem in that division for a long time to come. Moving along on Full Press MMA on your Monday. Man, it's a beautiful day. I'm in New England, back home where I grew up in Connecticut. Really pumped to be here. A lot of good fighters from right in my area. How about Bellator star Brandon Ward, who's finally doing much better in his life. His career is on fire. Can't wait to see what happens next. But right now we're rolling along with Full Press MMA, giving you the news on your Monday. And Aljamain Sterling is not happy with Dana White. And usually when you're a fighter and you're not happy with Dana White, it doesn't work out well for you. Just ask Francis Ngannou. He went from being the baddest man on the planet to Michael Jordan rides the bus in one contract that he didn't sign with the UFC. And Aljamain Sterling playing with fire right now. And he is a guy who likes to speak his mind. You know, after the main event at Fight Night 224 of the weekend in Vegas, Dana White had some things to say about Aljamain Sterling, because Dana had said, hey, August 19th in Boston, Sterling and Sean O'Malley. Aljo said he'd take the fight, but he's not going to be 100%. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing, but Dana White had some nasty things to say about Aljamain Sterling, or at least what Sterling perceived to be nasty things, like Aljo is one of those guys that just can't get out of his own way. That's what he said at the press conference. Dana did. Apparently, he's in for the fight. Why he said that, who knows? The fight is on. The fight is absolutely, positively on. Well, Aljamain Sterling responded on his podcast on YouTube saying, quote, "If you want me to be the bad guy, tell me behind closed doors, behind the scenes. Aljo, this is what we're going to do. This is the script. Here it is. This is what we see. This is what the fans are picking up on you. Why don't we just take this and turn the volume up and accelerate the noise and make it as crazy as possible? I'm with that. You guys know I like to play a character. I'll be him." And then Dana White literally not giving him the chance to do that because he's not letting him in on it, right? According to Aljo. And Aljo just got a little butt hurt saying, "Every time they've asked me to fight, I've saddled up. I've done it. I've showed up every single time and I've won. I beat Jan. I beat Dillashaw. I beat Cejudo," and I'm paraphrasing now. So Aljo doesn't understand why Dana is able to diss him like that in front of the media and just go on with it, right? So Aljo continues, "Why is it so hard for Dana to go? Absolutely, the fight is done. We spoke to him. Kid's always shown up to the fight. He always makes weight. He does the media stuff. We know he's going to show up. Yeah, he just fought 2 weeks ago, but he's a little banged up. We know that. And he just gave his word he's going to show up for the fight. The kid's a killer. The kid's a stud. Isn't he awesome? The same way he goes for Connor. When Connor does something, oh my God, isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome? Like, can I be awesome too, Dana? I'm not asking for much. Stop playing with my name, bro. If we're going to do this together, let's get on the same page. Let's do this the right way." And I don't see where that's an issue with either guy. Dana normally doesn't take kindly to these sorts of things from fighters, but you know what? Aljamain Sterling has earned this right to be a champion and has earned this right to speak his mind. And speaking his mind also when it comes to the boss man, Dana White, Francis Ngannou rides the bus. That's his new nickname, Francis Ngannou rides the bus, because you go from the UFC to the PFL, you are riding the bus. You're in the minor leagues. It's not even double A compared to the UFC. You've heard my opinions on this. I love Francis. I love him as a person. I know him really well. He's amazing. He's an incredible fighter, but he's not the UFC heavyweight champion anymore. He's not the baddest man on the planet. He's Francis Ngannou rides the bus. That's the equivalent of what this is. You're going from the NBA to the D-League. You're going from the NFL to the XFL. You get what I'm saying here. Well, Dana White has said a lot of things lately about Francis Ngannou, and he didn't understand the PFL deal. And Dana White had literally said, "Hey, I don't know what this big deal is about this PFL deal. The whole thing doesn't make sense to me. Hunter did everything he could to sign him, but this whole deal with the PFL, it doesn't make any sense with me." And Francis Ngannou did not like the way Dana White's been talking about him. First, he said that we released him. And Dana White was a guy who, from the beginning, said we released Francis Ngannou. Well, Francis says on Twitter in follow-up, "What is your problem with me? One, I completed my contract, was a free agent, chose to walk away. You didn't release me. Two, I hate taking risks. That's why I defended my title to fill my contract with no ACL or MCL," talking about the Ciryl Gane fight. And then he went on to say, "Three, the reason why I fought 3 times in 3 years is because you wanted to control my deal and signs a new one and freeze me out. I owe these guys 3 fights a year. Isn't that what you say? What happened? I always asked for and never said no to any fight in 3 years. I'm finally being paid and respected and have a deal that's fair and equal for all parties. Why are you so against me being free and happy?" Has Francis not paid attention to Dana White throughout his whole career with every single fighter who's ever crossed him? I mean, this is something that just, I mean, it's fun for us to talk about, but Francis Ngannou rides the bus. Dana White's the president of the UFC. I love Francis. I love what he's doing. I've said it 1,000 times, but it is not going to work out the way that he wants it to in the PFL. It's just not, because you're not fighting the best fighters in the world. Period, point blank, end of story. And speaking of stories, Dustin Poirier is defending that the BMF belt is being included in his fight against Justin Gaethje, the rematch at UFC 291. People think it's a real belt. I don't know. They need to get a job or a life or something because it's just for fun, right? Well, Poirier is glad that the BMF belt is on the line. Look, Masvidal retired. The belt's up for grabs. I don't know why everyone's so freaked out about this. It's kind of funny, though, actually, when you think about it, because it gives us something to talk about in between fights, and that's something that we don't always have. It's awesome to do because there's not a lot out there right now going on, and we just have a little fun with this, right? One more thing from Dana White. We're working on Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko as the next UFC women's flyweight title. Valentina lost her belt to Grasso, of course, earlier this year. And I still can't believe those words just left my mouth, because Valentina seemed like a girl who would never lose another fight. And you never really knew what was going to happen there. But I will say this, right? Valentina Shevchenko, you always know they're going to lose at some point, unless they're Georges St. Pierre at the end of his career, but or John Jones. But everyone, even Anderson Silva at the end, had a bunch of losses, and it happens, right? So we'll see if that's the beginning of a little bit of slide for Valentina, or if it's something that she can come right back and correct. Moving it along on Full Press MMA on your Monday. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. And Jake Paul is at it again. Yep, Jake Paul, that combat sports superstar. You know him, Jake Paul? Yeah, the Disney child, the YouTuber. But he's gained my respect, I'll tell you what, as a boxer. I might respect Jake Paul more than I respect anybody else in boxing, because boxing just is ridiculous. Did you see that screw job on Lomachenko for Haney this weekend? What a terrible, terrible job of judging. And when did Las Vegas become the spot for some of the worst judging in combat sports? Las Vegas is supposed to be the industry standard. It's the fight capital of the world, people. Come on, let's go. It's time for unification, overhaul of everything. Unification of rules, state to state, not having different rules in different states. Can you imagine if the Ravens played the Chargers one week in San Diego, and then the next week they played in Baltimore under a completely different set of rules, like three downs, 90-yard field? You know what I'm saying? That just wouldn't work in the NFL. So why do fighters have to deal with different criteria in different states that they fight in? You have to look at the state you're fighting in before your fight, and part of your training is the way that it's scored and judged in those cities, and it's unbelievable. Meanwhile, Jake Paul, just mentioned him, he alleged that Nate Diaz has turned down a deal for an MMA fight. He tried to lure him into a two-fight deal. They're going to box on August 5th. The ticket sales are going great. It's in Dallas. Going to be a lot of fun. I'll be on live for that one. We're going to love that. But Jake Paul says he offered Nate Diaz an MMA fight to go along with their boxing clash, but Diaz declined the proposition. And why would he fight Jake Paul in MMA? He hasn't fought since he beat Tony Ferguson at UFC 279. He's not going to fight you in MMA, bro. You're lucky he's even boxing you, but you're going to make a ton of money, so be happy. Jake just wants him to come over to the PFL and ride the bus with him, Francis Ngannou, and Kayla Harrison. And that's what they're doing in the PFL. Why would Nate Diaz ever go near the PFL? He's going back to the UFC. He's fighting Conor a third time. He's going to do a whole bunch more stuff there. But Jake Paul is going to make his MMA debut early next year in the PFL, signed that deal a few months ago, and now he's saying Nate Diaz is dodging him for an MMA fight, and that is obviously, as we know, not the case. But you know what? Jake is just having a little fun here, and why not? Why not let Jake do that, right? He's going to anyway. Wrapping it up on Full Press MMA on your Monday, May 22nd. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. And as always, we're going to close with the birthday song. Happy birthday to you. Joe Lauzon, 39 years old, born on this day in 1984, a legend in the lightweight division. Joe Lauzon is still only 39. How about Amanda Lemos, top contender in the UFC in the women's division? She's 36. Happy birthday, Amanda. Who else's birthday is it today? Let's see. Is there anybody else whose birthday it is today? We're looking through. And that is about it. We're trying. Joe Lauzon and Amanda Lemos, happy birthday to you. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more. Full Press MMA on your Monday, May 22nd. Happy birthday to my daughter, Jaden, her sweet 16. The prettiest girl I've ever seen. Her birthday is today. And thank you, Mackenzie Dern, for showing that girl power in the Octagon on Saturday. My daughter oozes that. She's grown up in gyms training. She loves fighting. And she is a girly girl every step of the way on top of it. So yeah, my daughter's better than yours. Just kidding. Maybe not, actually. But sure, we'll go with that for now. Thank you for being here, fight fans. Appreciate you. And as always, come back for the stack, the fight stack, main card fights, every UFC fight card, previews, odds, breakdowns, and our Friday special after weigh-ins, the weights, the ramifications, the line movements, the props, all those with the stack. And of course, Full Press MMA, which you're listening to right now, every single day with the news, the notes, the hot topics, the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room talking about mixed martial arts. And I will tell you what, it is a great sport to talk about. Thank you so much, fight fans. I love you with all my heart. Keep your game tight and your mind right. I'm out.